A very good morning to you, beloved of GMDS. It gives me great joy this morning to bring you the second part of this mini series that we are attempting to share on financial wisdom. Thank you for listening and for taking heed to the Word of God. Thank you for the feedback that you have also given concerning these various messages and how they have touched you, adjusted you, inspired you, convicted you, and allowed your minds to open up to the Word of God. Thank you for taking the various scriptures that I have shared in these teachings, opening up the scriptures and trusting them and praying them into your life. Yes, beloved, there is life in the Word of God. And I want you to take these scriptures very seriously, because they are like a GPS. They will guide you to your destiny. And so today I ask you with all humility and with the Holy Spirit leading me, that you will pay attention to the second part of this mini series or the sub series. We are dealing as a whole on the subject, our prophetic destiny to the finish. Yes, beloved, we are living in the last days. These are the last days. The last days of the Holy Spirit adjusting us before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am imploring you by the mercies of God that you will take heed and live every day responsibly. You will live every day for Christ. You will live as a son of God. You will speak as a son of God. You will behave like a son of God. Your conduct will be filled with the principles of the Word of God. In the school of the Spirit, there is always a principle, and wisdom is the principle of the school of the Spirit. So I pray today, financial wisdom will be part of your agenda. You will know how to ask God for wisdom to manage your finances, to steward your finances. Remember, once you give your life to Jesus Christ, and then you are open to supernatural success, favor, and the edge over others, then you don't own yourself. You don't own anything. All you are is a steward or a manager of kingdom assets. I have transferred all our assets into the kingdom of God, and all I do is live off Him. And I thank God that everything that He has given us, we manage the best we can. Even your finances, your salary at the end of the month is not yours. It's the Lord's. So you cannot do as you wish. Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Know you not that you belong to God? And so today, because you belong to God, your finances also belongs to God. So what's your part in this? You are just a manager. A responsible manager that manages kingdom finances. As with the children that you bring up in your home, they do not belong to you. They belong to God. You brought them to the altar and you handed them over to God. And God gave you the sovereign responsibility to manage the destiny of the children you have. Beloved, we all be judged if we do not lead our children by setting the right example, by opening their hearts and lives to the Word of God, by praying over them every single day, by showing them a better way. Beloved, I urge you today that you will start being responsible in your stewardship, responsible in your management of kingdom assets. Your home, your car, your finances all have to be well taken care of, managing your finances. And this is what I am speaking about today in the name of Jesus. So come with me today to today's lesson as we continue talking about some of the problems we spoke the problems that we have today are the problems. Number one, the problem of debt, and debt disqualifies us, debt distresses us, debt discourages us, debt even divides husband and wife. The second problem we have is the problem of irresponsibility, where we are incurring debt unnecessarily, where we buy impulsively, where we do not have the proper way of managing our finances, reckless and careless management, neglecting your possessions, not taking care of them. The third problem is a problem of wrong values, having your mind on money more than God, loving money more than God and the things of God, chasing money more than God. Well, that's a problem of wrong values. And then we also spoke about the problem of speculation, getting yourself unnecessarily involved in get-rich-quick schemes. These schemes do not work. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:22, trying to get rich quick is evil and leads to poverty. Trying to get rich quick is evil and leads to poverty. We must grow with our resources little by little. The next problem we have, and I think it is evident maybe in our culture, it may be evident in the way we think and where we are brought up, but the problem is a problem of selfishness. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. Not God, but men will give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet with withal, it shall be measured to you again. With the same measure you meet out, will be the same measure that will come back to you. So the law of Genesis is that what you sow, that is what you will reap. This is a law that works every time. If you give, you will receive. In Proverbs 11, verse 24 to 25, it is possible to give away and become richer. It is also possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. Yes, the liberal man shall be rich. By watering others, he waters himself. So the Word of God talks of many areas of giving. We will deal with three major areas of giving, which we will look at in more detail a little later. Giving to the Lord. The first giving is giving to the Lord. Okay? In Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord with your substance, money. Substance is something you hold. Honor the Lord with your substance, with your money, with your finances, with your salary, with the first fruits of all your increase. When you get an increase, the first increase should come to the Lord in Jesus' name. In Malachi 3 verse 10, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Who's your storehouse? In this instance, the storehouse is one who brings grace to you, that they may be meet in mine house, and prove me now, yearward saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Hallelujah. Secondly, giving to the believers. In Galatians 6 verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Yes, if we know anyone in our household of faith that needs some help, we must be ready to give to believers. God will reward you in Jesus' name. Selfishness is the reason for financial problems. I say that again. Selfishness is the reason for financial problems in your personal domestic household. We should always be in a position to give. We must always think, listen, I must be able to give. It must become a culture. Look for ways and look for places where you can give. It should become part of your culture. And God assesses your heart. We should also be in a position to receive, realizing that we are giving the giver the greater blessing by receiving. Thirdly, giving to the poor. In Luke 3:11, this is what it says. He that had two coats, let him impart to him that had none. And he that had meat, let him do likewise. In Proverbs 14:21, he that had mercy on the poor, happy is he. In Proverbs 14:31, he that honoreth him had mercy on the poor. Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. It is evident, beloved, in the life of the Lord Jesus that he gave alms to the poor. You see that in John 13:29. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. These were probably beggars on the street that they thought he was going to give to. This scripture shows that it was a custom of Jesus to send Judas Iscariot to give to the poor. Now, what about secret giving? In Matthew 6, verse 1 to 4, the Bible says, take heed that you do not do your alms before men. That means giving to the poor before men to be advertised, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. But when you do these things, give to the poor, give to those in need, let not your left hand know what your right hand is given, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father which sees in secret himself shall reward you openly. I get annoyed sometimes when I open the local newspaper, the Rising Sun, or the Chatsworth Tabloid, or the Queensborough newspaper, and we see the churches advertise what they do to the poor. A nice big picture of the pastor and his team and his wife giving something to the poor, giving blankets to the poor, and they take a picture and they plaster it in our newspapers to be advertised, to be seen by people. Well, according to this scripture, there's no reward for them. They should have rather done it secretly and be recipients of heavenly rewards. It was in connection with giving to the poor that our giving must be done in secret. This is when the reward will be public. When your reward that comes from the Lord becomes a testimony of how God is blessing you. Next, the act of giving. The scripture shows that we must give to everyone who asks us. We should have no excuse. We cannot say that the poor got themselves into that mess. The poor are poor because they are lazy. The poor should work for their living. The poor should be shown that it is wrong lifestyle to beg. We should use our almsgiving as a witness of Jesus Christ. Then you teach them, the poor, how to prosper. Get the poor born again. Then teach them to be obedient to the word of God. Obedient Christians prosper in every area of life. Teach the poor to work. Teach the poor to give. Teach the poor faith in God. Teach the poor the love walk. Okay? Would you do that? So when you give to the poor, give secretly. Develop the act of giving, the culture of giving. And then you teach the ones that you're giving how to prosper, how to be born again in Jesus' name. And also then, there's a time of accountability in this process. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 to 14, I'm reading from the Living Bible. Now here is a command, dear brothers, given in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ by his authority. Stay away from any Christian who spends his days in laziness and does not follow the ideal of hard work we set up for you. You never saw us loafing. We never accepted food from anyone without buying it. We worked hard day and night for the money we needed to live on. He who does not work shall not eat. If anyone refuses to obey what we say in this letter, notice who he is and stay away from him, that he may be ashamed of himself. This is talking about Christians, not unbelievers. In Psalm 37 verse 25, this is what the Bible says. I have been young and now I am old, says the psalmist. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Unbelievers fall into poverty because they have no covenant and they are without God. But believers, they walk by faith in God, so that they are declared righteous. Christians are God's covenant partners. Sons of God have God as their father. You got that? The next problem is a problem of cheating that lands us in all types of trouble. Proverbs 17:23, a wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. Instead of getting money to help people, we hurt people to get money. Cheating, beloved, leads to trouble. In James 5, verse 1 to 6, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. They cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. Beloved, cheats who defraud and impoverish others to make themselves rich are in trouble with the living God. Cheating leads to destruction. In Galatians 6 verse 7 to 8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. We cannot get away from the law of seed time and harvest. The law says that what you sow, you will reap, and you will always reap more than you sow. If you cheat, you will be cheated much worse than you cheated others. You can be sure of this. Cheating leads to misery. In James 5 verse 1, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Cheaters may be outwardly prosperous, but they are inwardly miserable. They live in fear of being cheated, and they are afraid of being caught. Know for sure, cheaters are eventually exposed. In Matthew 10:26, for there is nothing covered that will not be known. Let me read that again. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. For there is nothing covered that will not be known. In this last day, God is exposing everything that is unrighteous in your personal life, in your home, in your marriage, at your workplace, wherever you are, in your church life, in your dealing with one another. God is exposing, for nothing covered will not be known. The last problem, I said I was going to talk about seven problems. The last problem is the problem of wrong priorities. Wrong priorities. Mark 4:19, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Wow! And the cares of the world, everything we care for clothes, we care for promotion, we care for holidays, we care for so many things of this world. Thereafter, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things, they enter in and they choke the word of God and it becomes unfruitful. When the word of God becomes unfruitful in you, it cannot produce. The word was meant to produce. The word was meant to bring forth a return. The word of God was meant to bring forth favor to you, bring forth unprecedented rewards to you, was meant to bring forth and produce fruit. But with the cares of the world choking the very essence of the word, you become unfruitful. The word of God, which promises our prosperity, can become unfruitful from this verse of scripture. So many Christians make their lowest priority the highest priority. They make their vocation their first priority. And then they wonder why they fall out with God. Why do they fall out with their spouses? Why do they fall out with their children and their church? And they end up empty and drained spiritually. If you allow the pressure of your job, your business, to cause you to compromise your priorities, be sure that the devil will make sure that you are distracted. He will pile pressure on you, beloved, and keep you tied up. Get out of the whirlpool of the cares of this world. Get out of the whirlpool of the deceitfulness of riches. Get out of the whirlpool of the desire for other things. And reestablish the priorities of number one, your fellowship with God. Number two, your fellowship with your spouse. Number three, the fellowship with your children. Number four, the fellowship with your church. And lastly, the workplace. Be radical about it. I say be radical about it, beloved. Be bold and confident and radical. If you do this, God will take care of all your material needs, according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Now, beloved, let's shift away from problems and let's talk about the solution part. Let's talk about the building part. Let's talk about how we're going to get out of these problems and how we can then erect for ourselves structures that will sustain us, that will preserve us, that will secure our joy. Well, as you know, if you want to build anything, there must be a foundation. If the foundation is the most important part of your building structure, if you build on sand, when the storms come, your building is going to fall. But if you build on the rock, who is Christ, then, of course, when the storms come, your building will stand. I want to speak a little bit on our financial foundation. Our financial foundation. Even in your finances, there has to be a fine foundation. In Psalm 35, verse 27, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. God wants to deliver us from financial bondage, beloved. He wants our finances to be free so that we can have only one master, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Listen, you cannot serve God and mammon. Not or mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. When we are in financial debt and bondage, we are often serving mammon. How many of you are in financial debt right now and financial bondage? You don't know, you know, you have, it's been long since you've been, had an extra 100 rand in your wallet. It's long since you've had the ability to go out into a restaurant and take your family. It's long since you've had the ability to buy a new set of pants do something that is positive in caring for and maintaining the kingdom assets. Well, you are in bondage. And if you are in bondage, you are under, you're a servant to mammon. Now, I want you to be fully persuaded. One thing that we must be convinced about is that God wants us liberated financially. I want you to say that nice and loud. God wants me liberated financially. If you are sinking in debt, stop right there. You don't have to start sliding further down into total destruction. I want you to say this nice and loud. It's like the children of Israel that marched around Jericho one time for 6 days, but on the seventh day, they marched around seven times. And they marched down silently. But then the Lord said, when he gave the signal through Joshua, they had to shout. I want us today to shout, God wants me liberated financially. God wants me liberated financially. God wants me liberated financially. If you are bound financially, we cannot serve God wholeheartedly. We are distracted. We have divided loyalties. God wants our wholehearted affection because our salvation and the salvation of the world depends on it. This is why God has done all he can to set us free financially. In Deuteronomy 8:18, and you shall remember the Lord, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. God did not give wealth the power to get you. He gave you the power to get wealth. The reason for this is that he wants to establish the new covenant with you. Hallelujah. He wants to make good his covenant with us personally. Hallelujah. Financial provision is a benefit of the new covenant. He wants his children established financially as a witness of who he is in your life. The world wants to know the Father in your life. And therefore, you have to reveal to the world this in Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. Yes, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. So many Christians are working so hard to pay their debts that they have no time to preach the gospel. But how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. How about you? When last did you take good news to someone? When the last did you use your feet to walk into environments, to take the good news, to proclaim peace, to bring glad tidings of good things? Come on, to proclaim the salvation of the Lord, to say to Zion, your God reigns. When last have you done this? If you have not done, well, start please, because this is one of the ways in which you are going to be liberated financially. So many Christians are working so hard to pay the debts that they have no time to preach the gospel. What a sad place. They are in such a financial bondage that no one will believe their gospel message, even if they preach it. Imagine if you are so full of counts and you're fighting and you're squealing about money and you go tell your neighbor about Jesus. He's not going to listen to you. You have to have a testimony first. You got to know, you got to be solid. You've got to be healed. You've got to be, your entire stature has to change before you carry this message of good tidings. See, their finances are so tied up. that they cannot finance God's, the good news preaching or preachers, and help send them into the utmost parts of the earth. God wants us established financially so that he can establish his covenant in the earth. So number one, the first foundation is a foundation of ownership. Ownership. In Psalm 24 verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell therein. In Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine, says the Lord. The gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. In Psalm chapter 50 verse 10 and 11, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. So everything belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. The stewards, or the stewarding, or the management of the earth has been given to the sons of God. And we have not managed this earth, this real estate that God has given into our custody. He owns the earth, but we manage the earth. If we are going to have true financial liberty, then we are going to have to lay a proper foundation, beloved. Come on. Everything starts with a foundation. You cannot build the walls without the foundation. You cannot put the roof without the foundation. We cannot display our chandeliers without putting a proper foundation. Come on, you've got to invest in that foundation. And the foundation of ownership must be clear in your mind. You don't own anything, you are stewarding. Say, I am a steward of kingdom assets. A proper foundation will establish the right motives and attitudes towards finances. The first part of our financial foundation is the question of ownership. Recognize that the earth is the Lord's, the resources of the earth are the Lord's, the world is the Lord's, all the people of the world are the Lord's. And you know something? We cannot pretend. Everything does literally belong to the Lord. This is a fact outlined in the Word of God. We read some scriptures. We cannot transfer ownership. If we do not own it, how can we transfer it? The Lord really does own all of our financial resources. The Lord owns it. If you want to sell a car, inquire of Him. If you want to sell your house, inquire of Him. Get the nod from Him. Because your house does not belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. If you want to get rid of anything in the asset base of kingdom stuff, everything, you inquire of the Lord. We possess, the Lord owns. Say this, I possess, but the Lord owns. Possession is not ownership, beloved. God is responsible for His property and His belonging. We are responsible for the management of the Lord's property and resources. I say that again. Possession is not ownership. You must sink this in your head. Your car that you've got, well, it's if it's under HP, you don't own it. The bank still has the logbook. If you have a home and this home is under a bond, you don't own it. You only own it when you have the title deed in your hand. So, besides that, everything else that's in your possession belongs to the Lord. The ministry, GMDS, is not mine. It's owned by the Lord. I possess it. I manage it on behalf of the Lord, but it's not mine. Every time you or I rise up against the house of God, we're not rising up against the stewards, against the owners. And the owner is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to believe this, that you will get into serious trouble the moment you rise up against the Lord, who is the owner. You can rise up against a steward and get away. But against the owner, yes, you're going to get into trouble. So I pray to God at this juncture that you will consider this, that you are not the owner of what you have. You are just possessing it. God is responsible for his property and his belonging. We are responsible for the management of the Lord's property and resources. In Matthew 25, verse 14 and 19, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his servants and delivered his goods to them. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and he settled accounts with them. If we realize that we do not have ownership of our finances, we must then realize that we cannot do what we want to with our finances. So if your finances belongs to the Lord and he gives you 90% back to use for yourself and 10% is kept as a seed, well, for your sustenance, for that seed to perpetuate, then you have to believe he can do what he wants. The moment you go against his ownership and the principles of his ownership, you are going to get into serious trouble. We are accountable to the owner. The owner is returning to settle accounts with what we have done with his goods. We have better show eternal profits. If we have spent our finances purely on earthly, temporal things, we will be found wanting. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, 17 and 18, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. We must know who our source is. Beloved, this is foundational to financial liberty. We get into financial bondage through fear that God will not provide. We live for mammon because we think that without it, we can do nothing. There is no such a thing. Even those who think that they are self-made are not. They are there by God's power. Acts 17:28, for in him we live, in him we move, and have our being. Here Paul was preaching to the idolatrous Athenians about the unknown God. The sooner we realize that God is our source, the sooner we will be liberated. Say this after me. God is the source of my ability to earn financial income. Say this nice and loud. God is the source of my ability to earn financial income. In Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. The principle is that if the Lord owns you, then he owns all that you possess. Presenting our bodies is to present everything physical to the Lord. In Psalm 100, verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God owns us because he created us. God owns us because he created us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, you are not your own. Man, I think you need to memorize the scripture. Tuck it somewhere in your spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We were bought back from a slave market of sin, to which we yielded ourselves previously. We become now God's property when we voluntarily yield ourselves to him. We become God's property when we voluntarily yield ourselves to what God has done. We are his because he's our creator. We are his because he purchased us. So we are doubly his. Hallelujah. The second foundation is the foundation of vision. We've covered the foundation pillar of ownership, and now the second foundational pillar is vision. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. If we want financial freedom, we must have a vision for it. We must see ourselves free. If we cannot see ourselves free from bondage, we will never be free. Come on, I want you to open your spiritual eyes. Shut your natural eyes. Open your spiritual eyes. Open the eyes of your spirit. See yourself free. Have the vision of it. Vision is has to do with the eyes of your spirit, man. Open those eyes. See right now. See yourself free from the bondage as far as your finances is concerned, okay? Hebrews 6:19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. You must have an expectation. You must expect to be free. You must have a willingness to be free. Hope can be defined as a great expectation. What is your expectation? Does God want his prosperity to be destroyed? Does God want you to be bound by financial worries? Oh no! In 1 Peter 5 verse 6 and 7, this is what the word of God says. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Come on, exalt you. Pick you out of that pit. Pick you out of the place that you're enslaved from. Take you, set you free. Come on, exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So God cares for you. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. Anxiety will kill you, beloved. Anxiety will destroy you. And so be anxious for nothing. Jesus had no financial fears. He even had a treasurer to look after it. When Jesus Christ is Lord, he leads you out of financial bondage. When Jesus Christ is Lord, he will lead you out of financial bondage. Make him Lord, not just Savior in your life. Make him Lord means that he will own everything in your life. Heaven has no financial bondage. Heaven has no financial bondage. When you pray, Lord, let it appear on earth as it is in heaven. You are saying the same standard of no bondage in heaven. You want it in your life. You want it in the earth. This is what God wants us to experience on the earth. Our expectation and hope comes from knowing the will of God. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God. Come on, you're going to find the will of God in the Word of God. So get involved in the Word of God. Open the Word of God. Find those principles. Pray it into your life. Share it with others. Speak about it. Meditate on those principles. Man, I tell you, the will of God is revealed in the Word of God. God wants us to be provided for financially. If you read the Bible, it creates this expectation. You must have confidence, beloved. Beside having an expectation, you must have confidence. In Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Great reward. When you preserve your confidence, when you hold on to your confidence, it has great reward. Come on. Amen. Say amen with me. As we have seen, hope is the anchor of the soul. Our expectations anchor the mind, anchor the emotions, and anchor the will to the place of steadfastness and security. It stops us from being tossed around by adversity and from being driven to destruction. Having an expectation will not change our circumstances. Never. Faith will. Faith gives substance to the things that we expect. In James 1 verse 6 and 7, but let him ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. When you ask for financial freedom, what should you believe? Believe that you have received financial freedom without doubting. Say what we believe. I say, oh, you got to say what you believe. Say what you believe. Say what you believe. If you believe that you are free, start speaking about it. Say this after me. Financial freedom is mine. Financial freedom is mine. Mark 11:23. And he will have whatever he says. So say this after me. Financial freedom is mine. Mark 11:23. And he will have whatever he says. Come on, say it then. Financial freedom is mine. I am free financially. I am free financially. Come on, say it. I am free financially. Beloved, you must have a commitment. Don't just say this now. Don't just listen to this sermon. Your vision is, number one, part of your vision is to have an expectation. Secondly, you must have confidence that you come in. Thirdly, you must be committed. Commit yourself to your expectation. Commit yourself to your financial freedom. Commit yourself to your vision and do not compromise it. Be committed today and then have patience. Hebrews 10:36. For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Remember that it took some time to get into trouble, isn't it? It might take some time to get out of it. The law of sowing and reaping is not an overnight happening. Reaping a harvest requires patience. You got that? Reaping a harvest requires patience. And finally, under this pillar, foundational pillar of vision, you must be persistent. Isaiah 62 verse 6 and 7. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. And give him no rest until he establishes. So, beloved, don't quit. Don't quit. Your faith will see you through. I say, don't quit. Your faith will see you through. Amen. I want to stop right there at this point. I want you to go back this week and ponder upon these thoughts. Meditate on these scriptures that I've given you. Listen to the recording again. Pause the recording. Take the scripture down. Write it on a notebook. Open up and find the key word in that scripture that you can pray into your life over your finances. Listen, don't quit. You got to have a vision and speak it out. Financial freedom is mine. May the Lord bless you as you look forward to a great week ahead. Amen.